You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. We've been investigating a Republican convention bump, or is it an evangelical Palin bump? We're talking about evangelical voters today. It appears that John McCain leads Barack Obama in the latest polls. What do you think the reason is for that? It could be evangelical voters jumping to the ticket that perhaps they weren't as enthusiastic about before last week. We want to hear what you think, though, if you're an evangelical voter. What place does religion have in politics, and what role does religion play in your vote? We're also talking about wind power. Is wind power the way of the future? Have you had problems with it in your own backyard? What's the model for wind power? We were talking about that earlier in the show. From John on our website, I know something about wind power. He says it's great in the stretch of land from the Texas Panhandle to western North Dakota, where it blows steadily almost all the time. Not so great inland in New Jersey, where it blows intermittently and most strongly and steadily at night and during the spring and fall. It cannot contribute significantly to providing power for air conditioning in New Jersey. I don't know if that was a swipe at New Jersey, but if you turn your air conditioners off, maybe the wind will increase. You can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. We're also talking about two big stories this morning, wind relating to Hurricane Ike. We're tracking that storm. And also the big bailout of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, the mortgage giants, which has the Asian markets all up, positively reacting to that bailout. But what does it mean for consumers? To answer that question, we go to Ron Lieber, New York Times reporter. He's on the line with us from Brooklyn. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Ron, here's what Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson said of the importance of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Take a listen.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are so large and so interwoven in our financial system that a failure of either of them would cause great turmoil in the financial markets here at home and around the globe.
But, Ron, if I'm trying to get a loan, if I'm looking at a mortgage, how does this affect just little old me?
Well, the problem here, John, was that if Fannie and Freddie failed, there would not be money for the banks that you and I go to get our mortgages. That's why they couldn't be allowed to die. And so now that the government has stepped in and essentially backed their securities, that means foreign investors and others who gave money to Fannie and Freddie are now more confident, and there will continue to be money for our loans. So that's the sort of basic baseline. But what happens on top of that is that because they're more confident, that means that Fannie and Freddie don't have to essentially give as much away in creating those loans. That savings gets passed on to you and me, and what that means is that mortgage rates will probably fall a little bit in the coming months.
So mortgage rates probably won't rise. They could conceivably fall, but is it the case that the money in the banks that you and I go to actually comes from investors overseas, and it's their confidence that makes it possible for you and me to get loans?
Ultimately, that's the case. I mean, it's not just foreign governments that invest in the securities that Fannie and Freddie create. There are lots of mutual funds. There are many U.S. banks that invest. But it is, I'd say, partially true that, sort of central banks in countries around the world do have something to do with the lubrication of our mortgage system.
What about the different kinds of mortgages that are available? I mean, certainly before the subprime crisis, the proliferation of all kinds of mortgage products from the 30-year fixed all the way to these interest-only kinds of loans made it possible for all kinds of people in all kinds of ways to get into the market. Has that been pared down at all, and does this bailout restrict the kinds of mortgages you can get in the future?
Been pared down. I mean, much of what is available has to do with the rules that Fannie and Freddie set. They buy the mortgages from our local banks when our local banks, do the lending in the first place. And so the local banks, to a large extent, can only make the kinds of mortgages that Fannie and Freddie are willing to buy from them. And Fannie and Freddie have tightened their rules in a variety of ways in the last, 6 to 12 to 18 months. And so that's made it harder for people to get some of those funny mortgages with lower credit scores and lower down payments. What's going to be interesting now is to see whether there's any political pressure put to bear on Fannie and Freddie now that they completely sort of control the process, or on the federal government now that they completely control the process, to loosen the rules, to tighten the rules, to create new kinds of mortgages maybe that we hadn't thought of yet, to modify existing mortgages even more than they already have, to keep more foreclosures from hitting the market and causing prices to go down. We're in unknown territory here, but you know, given that these things are essentially federal entities now, there's no stopping anyone from banging down the doors of the government with an agenda related to mortgages.
Well, all of a sudden, and last question, Ron, does this mean, and it's kind of been a reveal to all mortgage holders that, you know, they don't have this kind of, you know, Jimmy Stewart-like relationship with their bank when they take out a mortgage, that they're paying the bank and the bank is really concerned about the individual payments. The bank wants to sell that mortgage right away. I'm wondering if the federal treasury becomes this giant savings and loan now that the U.S. taxpayer is sort of beholden to.
Well, it's sort of hard to avoid coming to that conclusion. I don't think that's what the federal government wants over the long haul, though. You know, what they're saying, or what Paulson said yesterday, is that this is sort of like a timeout. You know, we need to stabilize these things. And then when we have a new administration in place in November and a new Congress, you know, they're going to need to decide exactly how we want this thing to work. I mean, do we want it to be utterly federalized, or do we not want to have, you know, what we had before, which was this sort of quasi-public-private entity? I mean, either, you know, the market need to work the way the markets work, or it needs to be federalized permanently. But the whole in-between thing clearly was not working. And what happens a couple months or 18 to 24 months from now, it's anybody's guess at this point.
Well, Ron Lieber, New York Times reporter, you called it time out for the U.S. economy while Washington figures out how much of the mortgage industry is going to be federalized. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Ron Lieber, New York Times reporter, talking about the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac bailout.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.